Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to reflect with you tonight upon these opening words of this great first psalm. What we have here is the good man, the blessed man described. And he's the man that enjoys what we could call the good life. He's the happy man. Now, this opening part of the psalm is wonderfully picturesque. It's a picture of tranquility and peace. It's a picture of one who's extremely happy, at rest, a tree planted by the rivers of water, evergreen, fruitful, undisturbed. It's a wonderful image of tranquility, a beautiful garden scene. We might say the scene is idyllic. Jeremiah describes a similar scene. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's a wonderful picture of a fruitful, even evergreen tree, firmly rooted by the waters. The waters, that's the key. By the rivers of water, that's the key to the prosperity of the tree. That's the key to the fruitfulness. That's the key to this tree being always green. However dark the days, however severe the winter, this tree is always green because it's by the rivers of water. And that's where we have to be, by the rivers of water in our Christian life. The scene isn't just about a river, of course, and we'll come to what that may be in a moment, but it's about this great tree, isn't it? I don't know if you ever pause and look at trees. I've been trying to do it lately. It's amazing how beautiful trees are when you really look at them and stare. Well, whenever I go to the door out here, when I'm meeting you as you leave, I'm usually standing looking at the trees. That's usually the first thing I see, and I can see all the changes that come through the seasons. And the more I look at them, the more beautiful they seem to be. And those trees will outlive us. They'll be here long after us. But we want to be like these trees, like this tree here. You know, the Jews, there are people who are always writing prayers for everything, this, that, and the other, and you get books of Jewish prayers. And there's a prayer that the Jews have whenever they see a particularly beautiful tree. And it goes something like this. Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who has something like this in the world. Something like this in the world. This beautiful tree. And of course, we can say that of Christ, can't we? Because ultimately this tree here, this blessed man, is Jesus Christ. This beautiful tree by the rivers of water. How blessed are we, O Lord, that thou hast given us something like this. This Christ, to come into this world for us and to be our Saviour. So a beautiful, beautiful tree should make us think of Christ. And we should thank God for all the creatures and all that we see in creation. But from the creature we should ascend to the Creator and thank the Lord for the image and likeness of Jesus Christ seen in so many creatures. Now, if you and I want to be like our Saviour, we want to be like this tree here, we want to be a Christian that stands out, and maybe from time to time somebody pause and somebody stop and say, Lord, we thank thee for for something like this in the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian was like that? So that people said, Lord, we thank thee that there is such a person like that in the world. Beautiful, evergreen. Even in the midst of earth's winter and the dark winter nights, there's this beautiful Christian, this lovely person who's always the same in all seasons of life, standing firm, solid, unmovable by the rivers of water, evergreen, fruitful for God. So there are the rivers of water, there's the tree by the rivers of water. I'm thinking on this scene, congregation, because I've really only one aim tonight as I develop this message. And it is to encourage you to use the Psalms daily. To use the Psalms every day. Whatever form your Bible reading takes, and you might go through the Bible every year, once a year, maybe once every couple of years, whatever form your Bible reading takes, I suggest to you that part of it should include the Psalms. Whether you read the Psalms, whether you pray a psalm every day, whether you sing a psalm on a couple of occasions or whatever, I suggest that perpetually you use them. You see, these words don't only commence the psalm, they commence the psalm book. That's the thing, you see. They're at the beginning of the Psalter. The picture is telling us something about the Psalter, something about how important it ought to be in your life. The Psalter is the river of waters for the Christian to develop, to grow, to be like Christ. They are the opening words to all the Psalms. So every time you dip into any part of the Psalter, it could be a profitable thing to just remind yourself of the opening part of the psalm book. This idyllic, picturesque scene. It's like whenever you go into a room, you want to go to a certain part of the room, maybe you want to go to the cupboard, maybe you want to go to the chest of drawers, maybe you want to go to a chair, something in the room, but you always have to go through the same door, whatever part of that room you want to go to. And the psalm book is like that. You want to go to this psalm, that psalm, Psalm 22, Psalm 73, Psalm 100, to praise the Lord, maybe one psalm to lament and mourn, but you're always going through this door, this picture at the start, just to remind you what room you're in, what the room is about. That the furniture in here is all here to aid you and to help you and to furnish you to be the blessed man, to have the good life as a Christian, to enjoy the Lord, to be evergreen, whatever the season, however the times. This sentence reminds you that this is the room where that all takes place, where that happens. So the Psalms are central in Christian prayer and Christian meditation, in Christian devotion, and in Christian development. You see, the opening part of Israel's prayer book isn't a prayer. It's a wisdom poem. No addressing the Lord here. It's just wisdom. Blessed is the man. He'd be like a tree by the rivers of water. It's a wisdom picture, reminding you what all these psalms are for. So I suggest that the psalm is the rivers of water. I think that's what the psalmist is picturing here. He delights in the law of the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now the psalms, as you know, are songs of the battlefield. They are cries. They are mourning words very often. They're psalms of affliction, for help, But here at the start, you don't really feel that. You don't really see that. This opening psalm, to me, it's like a theologian in his comfortable study, at his comfortable desk with his Bible. There doesn't seem to be any battlefield here. He seems to be in his ivory tower here with his theological thoughts lost here in this opening part of the psalm. No battlefield here. This is just an idyllic experience, picturesque, peaceful, prosperity, blessing. No trenches of warfare here. Just day and night in God's word. Just day and night by the rivers of water. Isn't it wonderful? Like the theologian in his study, who never has to go out into the battlefield to cope with the problems in life. But this psalm is not telling us there is no battle. It's not telling us that. It's not telling us there's no warfare, no struggle, no tears. Rather, it's here to draw us in. To draw us into the whole book. That first word, blessed, happiness, it's in the plural, I think. Oh, the happinesses of the man. It's the first word. It's drawing us in. It's like a magnet attracting us in. The marvelous happinesses of the man. And the Holy Spirit puts us here to capture us at the start, to bring us in. So he's not saying there's no battle, there's no problems, there's no tears, there's no lamentations. He's not saying that at all. But he's saying, come in like this. And look at these psalms as rivers of water. So it's an introduction to the Psalter to encourage us to come in. And if this scene doesn't encourage us to come in, what will? You know, in recent years there have been a whole series of books published. I don't know if you've come across them. Books for Dummies. It's a humour title, of course, suggesting a difficult subject that the ordinary person can learn. And this book will help you to learn. You know, computers for dummies. British politics for dummies. Yes, there is such a book, actually. British politics for dummies. Must be a quite thick book. I don't know if it's helped very many dummies. But you get this, mathematics for dummies. Cooking even for dummies. Psalm 1 is a book for dummies. The Psalter for dummies. That's what it is. The Psalter for dummies. Come on in. It's not so hard. You can understand how to cook. You can understand how to be the man by the rivers of water. You can understand how to be like Christ. You can understand how to grow and prosper. You can understand the good life and partake of the good life and enjoy the good life and be the happy and blessed man. But you have to come in here. So it's Psalm 1 is a Psalter for dummies. Being blessed for dummies. Living the good life for dummies. It's like that cookie jar and the lid says something as you enter. I saw one cookie jar that said, life is sweet, enjoy a treat. That draws us in. If we need something on a cookie jar to draw us in, that draws us in. Enjoy a treat. Well, blessed is the man. His delight is in the word. Like a river. Like a tree by the rivers of water. Come on in. It draws us in. That's the intention of this opening part of the Psalter. You want to be blessed, come on in. You want to dip into a jar of sweet, wholesome food. This is it. Now, ultimately, as I said, this blessed man is Christ. He is the blessed man. I've often said that. That's been the basis of many sermons I preached on Psalm 1. Christ is this man. He loved the Bible. He especially loved the Psalms. He was always quoting them. He preached the Word of God. He prayed the Psalms. He sang the Psalms. Yes, he did. He sang the Psalms. Even the night he was betrayed and before his experience of Calvary, he sang the Psalms with his disciples. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he lamented. And all these lamentations were his prayers. He was no theologian in an ivory tower. He was still the tree by the rivers of water. He was still fruitful and evergreen. He was so blessed. His people can be too, and ought to be and will be. The saints can enter into this. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes us like the blessed man. He's conforming us unto the likeness of Christ. If you see Psalm 2, what does the end of Psalm 2 say? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So there's not just the one solitary blessed man. Blessed is the man, Christ. But at the end of Psalm 2, we are reading, blessed are they. He leads a whole pile of others. There are others that are happy too. There are others that can enjoy the good life as well. Those that believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that trust in him. So it's not Christ alone, but it's Christ and his saints through his grace. And this book facilitates that blessedness in our lives. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And of course that's the Torah. One of the meanings of the law is the five books of Moses, the first five books in the Bible. David is implying here that it includes this book, the Psalms. This is Torah too. This is law as well. And that's why this psalm book has been carefully arranged. I've often said in the past, there's not a psalm here out of place. It's all been numerically arranged exactly as the Holy Spirit intended. And one of the things that stands out about this psalm, the Psalter, is that it is divided into five books to mimic the Torah, to mimic the law. Five books. They're clearly identified. They're clearly marked. They can be certainly seen as you study through the Psalter. I'll not point them out tonight. But there's this fivefold division. And the psalmist who has arranged this in the Holy Spirit and put this at the start is saying to us, this is Torah. This Psalter is Torah too. This is rivers of water as well. And you are to delight in it. You're to meditate in it day and night. Every day. Every night. You know, you don't just read the psalm. Oh, this is the month to read the psalms. I've read the rest of the Bible. Now I have to read the psalms to finish my reading of the Bible. No, that's not the way it is. The Psalter, day and night. Every day. The Christian church has always taught that. The Jewish church even believed that and practiced that daily. And none of these psalms are out of place. And this whole book is the rivers of water going off in these five channels. And as I say, you want to be good, enjoy the good life and to be happy and to be fulfilled. This is the key. You know, the world thinks a good life is something different. You have health. You have wealth. You have a well-paid job. Your children are successful in life. Successful family. And they say, oh, he's a fortunate man. He's a privileged man. He's a blessed man. He has the good life. Well, to the Holy Spirit, this is the good life. This is a good life. This is the blessed life. By the rivers of water. And we'll see this man by the rivers of water. He's a broken-hearted man. He's a man who buries his children. He's a man who's chased on the wilderness, on the moors. He's a man who's persecuted. He's a man who waters his bed with tears every night. He's a man of sickness and affliction. He's a man of doubts and fears. A man who sometimes thinks God has left him, has forgotten him. And yet he's a blessed man. By the river of the 150 Psalms and his five books, day and night, delight yourself, day and night, perpetually. I'm suggesting make time for the Psalms. Now this doesn't mean, as I say, you're not on the battlefield. You will be on the battlefield and you're in the trenches. It's not a rosy bed of ease. It wasn't for Christ, even though he's this blessed man. He wasn't in the ivory tower all the time. He had nowhere to lay his head. He could hardly find a quiet place to be alone with his father. You know, they didn't have 4 or 5 rooms in those days in a house, a Palestinian house. And whenever the apostles, the school of the apostles, were brought into some peasant's village home, they're all in one room. It was difficult to get time alone with God. It was difficult to have quiet times. And you study the life of the Lord, he was so busy. He had no study, he had no private room, he had little privacy, he had no armchairs in a library. But he had the Psalms, as every Jew had. Because that's all they learned in the synagogue. And they learned them by heart, by singing them, hearing them read all the time by the rabbis, preached upon. They knew them, they had retentive minds. They didn't have TVs. They didn't need the visual and fed themselves on the visual. No, the mental word pictures of the Psalter. That's what they had. And their developing minds imbibed all of that. Christ knew the Psalms, even as a man, growing in knowledge and wisdom by liturgical repetition, by constant hearing and praying and singing daily. And that's why the Christian church has always encouraged the daily use of Psalms. As I said, the ancient liturgy of the churches included daily Psalms. Some were sang, some were read. Very often the Psalter was covered in a month. The Anglicans covered the Psalter in a month through the morning and evening prayers. The whole psalm book was covered in a month by reading or singing. And some of the psalms were frequently covered in a month. Psalm 95, for example, was a daily psalm in the ancient church. Every day. So I'm suggesting the Psalter is not like any other Bible book. It's the only one that is daily, monthly, perpetual. I suggest to you that's what this opening psalm is about. I want you to imbibe that. To try to practice that. To use the psalms more in your daily devotional. It was this river that constantly ran through the church's public worship. There was no service without a psalm. Not one. As I said, maybe it was read, maybe it was prayed, maybe it was sung. We can't say it was psalms only, of course. And we wouldn't say that. But it was psalms preeminently and prominently. And it learned that. The church learned that from this opening psalm. And so the cookie jar of the Psalter says, blessed delight, day and night, rivers of water, fruit, evergreen, prosperity. You remember our Lord's last day on earth? It was on the cross. Our Lord was on the cross when he died. Even there he followed the Psalms. And I like to believe it was in his regular manner. Maybe that's where he was in his litany of devotion in the Psalms. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22. We know he prayed Psalm 22. And he continued to pray it, I believe, until he come to Psalm 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God. He prayed the Psalms. He continued the litany of the Psalms to the end, to the very end. It's not just that he quoted Psalm 22, verse 1, and then Psalm 31, verse 5. No, I think he went through it all. He was a blessed man by the rivers of water. Even on the cross, he's by the rivers of water. He's bearing the curse. The sun has dehydrated him.
He doesn't look blessed. In fact, he's cursed it. He's made a curse for us. But he's still the blessed man. Though the cursed man, the blessed man still by the rivers of the Psalter, by the rivers of the water, as he goes into the presence of his Father. So what better example have you than that? Here's a man on his death day. Here's a man on his last day. And what is he using in his devotion to God? The Psalms. The Psalms. Delighting in the Word. Delighting himself in the Word, even on the cross, even in the agony of Calvary, delighting himself in the Word. Now, this word delight, we mustn't think that it's always sheer, pure, unadulterated joy. We don't always have that when we study the Word. I mean, if you're burying a child, you're coming to your psalm book, you have little of joy and delight. You want to take up a lamentation psalm, a mourning psalm. You want to weep, water your couch with tears with some of the more weepy psalms. But this word delight is not just intimating inexpressible joy, perpetual joy that knows no change. Perhaps a good way to look at it would be the word business. But his business is in the word of the Lord, in the river of water, in the Psalms. Even in pain, it's his business to be in the Psalms. Even in his agony, even in bearing sin, bearing the curse, even when his Father hides his face, it's still his delight, his business to be in the law of the Lord. Night and day, and this is night. This is the dark night of his soul as he bears our sins on the cross of Calvary. It's the dark night of the soul, and yet there still he delights himself. His business is still in the word of his Father. That's a great example. So make it your business to be in the word. Even when you don't feel good, even when you don't have the sense of joy, don't neglect it. I don't say, oh, I'm getting nothing out of it today. This is hard. This is dull. This is boring. No. Keep at it. Make it your business. Make it your delight. No matter how you feel, make it your delight. Because this is the key to the good life. This is the key to become like Christ. There's no shortcuts, brethren and sisters. There aren't. It's only by the rivers of water. Daily. Perpetually. Morning and evening. No matter how you feel. No matter how the season and the climate. Drawing. Drawing. From the Word. Of course, this is not the majority view of the good life. A life of separation from the world and devotion to Christ and his word, that is only the privileged few who want that, who through grace attain to that. Most reject this path of blessedness. Most can't even see that it is a good life, the blessed life. How could this be the happy life? Day and night in the Bible, day and night in the Psalms, trying to pray the Psalms. Trying to come to a communion with God, your Father, and Jesus Christ through the Psalms. How can that be the good life? This man's so lonely. Blessed is the man. There's all the ungodly, the counsel of the ungodly. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's the way of sinners. There's those standing in the way of sinners. There's those sitting in the seat of the scornful. The broad road that leads to destruction with all these seats, with all these paths, with all these standing places where the majority go, where the crowd is. And this poor wee lonely blessed man, separate from all that. But he's by the rivers of water. The world can't see how he's blessed with his Bible. They can't see how he's blessed with the Word of God. A man alone. This is a rare tree.
As I said, the majority are described in verse 1. Walk, stand, sit, there they are. The broad road that shuns Christ, that shuns a word, that shuns the cross, that shuns and refuses separation, that believe the good life is not in the narrow way, not in Christ, not in devotion to Him, not in the Word, but in the world, in success in life, in health and wealth, in the good times, in the club, in the pub, in the pleasures of the world that they put so much money and time in and promote so with all their might. The good time and the good life is in that. No, it's not. It's by the rivers of water. The good life is in the Psalms. The good life is in the Word of God. The good life is in Christ. So brethren and sisters, we all know this. Those who live for the pleasures of the world are not happy. They are not, and they never can be happy, because the world doesn't have this river of water. The Christless and the Bibleless have no permanency. They have no stability. They have no fixedness. They have no fruitfulness. They have no spiritual prosperity. They are not like trees at all. They're not like this. Even as the Holy Spirit puts it, the ungodly are not so. They're not like this. They're like the chaff. With all their Broadway, with all their pleasures, with all that they drink from, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand. No roots, no stability. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They'll not stand even in the congregation of the people of God. The way of the ungodly shall perish. The chaff. Isn't there quite a difference between the chaff and a tree grounded by the rivers of water? Or the difference between a Christian and a worldly? Poor sinners. They grope for the good life. How they grope for it. But they never find it. Poor sinners. Perishing in the darkness, trying to take hold of happiness. May God have mercy on them and open their eyes. Let us, people of God, hold fast our profession. Let us keep on in the good life by the rivers of water. Keep on in your devotion to Jesus Christ. Keep on in the Psalms, in the Psalter. Keep on reading them, praying them, hearing them, studying them, drawing from Christ through them, becoming like Christ by means of them. A tree like Him. Wasn't He a beautiful man, Jesus Christ? It was the Psalter made Him that. It was the Word of God made Him that. His spotless humanity. So the Lord make His people like Himself. And may He teach us to be conformed unto His likeness. And may the Holy Spirit help us to love the Psalms and to use the Psalms more in our private, personal devotions and in our worship in this house. And so whenever I go out to see those trees out there, having preached to you, may it be my prayer that the Lord would make you His people like those trees. Isn't that what this church should be? Shouldn't the rivers of water pass through the pews as we're planted in God's house? Doesn't the Bible say that, planted in God's house? Trees planted in the house of God, planted and growing and flourishing, becoming like those trees out there. So may the Lord make you like those trees and make His word in this house always to be rivers of water to us. Lord, make your word to be rivers of water to us. Let us be planted firmly by them. Let us draw from nothing but thy word. Let us not drink at the broken cisterns of the world, which can hold no water. But help us to drink from the word of life, the scriptures of our salvation, that show to us thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, be all glory. Amen.